posture there as advisors, directing the orc thousands. I'll not repeat Ivanel's mistake. Win or lose in the Silver Marches, the price will not be high to Menzo Berenson.
You are stirring a wasp's nest, Jarlaxle warned.
Then letting the wasps bite where they may, Quenthal agreed. Jarlaxle mulled that over for a bit. The idea that Menzo Berenson would start a war and care so little about the outcome did not seem correct to him. Not at all. He considered his surroundings and considered the target. He spent a long while studying Quenthal. What about this Drizzt? Drizzt had once killed Quenthal, after all, and quite painfully. House Doerden will lead the fight in the east, but you will remain right here by my side and at my call, Quenthal said flatly. Because of his relationship with Drizzt, Jarlaxle understood but did not dare say. The mercenary bowed, recognizing the meeting to be at its end.
So the march against the Silver Marches will be led by Tosin, the patron of House Doerden, Gromp said to Quenthal when they were back in his quarters at House Bayenry. And by Tiago, weapons master of House Bayenry.
Well-reasoned, Quenthal replied. And where is the prideful whelp?
He will be along, Gromp assured her. Will you send Sosumtu to the east? He asked, eager to change the subject, for he did not want to fill the volatile Quenthal in on Tiago's excursion to Icewind Dale.
Mes Barris already asked as much.
Tell me personally, Gromp bade her.
No, she answered after pausing for a moment to take a close measure of Gromp. Priestess Sarabel will, sir.
How many of our house will go?
Few, Quenthal replied. The city will send perhaps 100 warriors in total, with a score of that number from House Barris and Delarmgo, and the rest of the ranks filled with weapons masters of lesser houses, eager to make their reputation. The contingent of priestesses, again from lesser houses, will serve Sarabel, and Cusor Lauren will supply the contingent of wizards, all of them save one.
Me, the Archmage remarked.
And he made sure he didn't sound enthusiastic about the possibility. Nay, your lackey, Quenthal corrected to his surprise and delight. Whoever you decide that to be, your duty is simple, my Archmage. You keep a direct line open to Tiago's fortress in the east, wherever he makes it. We would converse with him regularly on the prosecution of the war, and we will go to him with a sizable force if necessary, or recall him if prudent. I'll not lose Tiago in this excursion.
Because he will help House Doerden rise to legitimate promise, affording you a second vote on the ruling council at your will, Gromp replied.
After our glory in the east, House Doerden will ascend in rank favored by Lolf, Quenthal agreed. And Gromp understood then that Quenthal was determined about two things in the east, that Tiago would not fall and that Tosin Armgo would. He saluted his clever sister with a bow.
Chapter 24 The Fighter Beside You. In life, stealth had never been Thibbledorf Puent's greatest strength. Quite the contrary, the ferocious battle rager usually took great pride in announcing his presence to his enemies long before battle was joined, even if that meant a few arrows or spears flying his way during his inevitable charge. Not so in death, however, for Puent's vampirism afforded him a congruence with the shadows that he could use as a great advantage, along with a lightness to his step, enhanced by his coexistence within two forms, solid and gaseous, and two planes of existence. He was hunting among and against the dark elves, the masters of darkness, the silent killers, whose domain was the eternal night of the Underdark. And so the vampire had honed his craft to perfection now, so he believed. He wove around the drow and the goblins and the half-drow, half-spider abominations with impunity. They couldn't find him, couldn't begin to even sense him, save the shivers that coursed their spines from the chill of his proximity, or the tiny hairs standing along their arms or at the back of their necks as he passed just below their conscious senses. Pwen had murdered a score of drow, and taken nearly half of those as undead minions, and he had feasted liberally on the blood of goblin slaves many times. Yes, this was his domain now, for none alive knew the ways of Gontalgrim better than he. Every corridor, every broken crack, both from the sheer age of the complex and from the volcanic eruption when the primordial had found a decade of freedom, was known to him. Never was he out of place here, for this was his place. He fancied himself the steward of Gontalgrim, the protector of the dwarven homeland. He knew that to be half of his existence at least, even while he hated the other half, the darker half, the half that could turn him against even Brunner, his king of old. He wanted to suppress that darkness now, he reminded himself as he crouched at the corner of a four-way intersection. His king was close, he knew, along with the others, and they too were friends of Gontalgrim, though he knew not how or why or where he had once known them, if he had at all.
"Me king,"
he silently mouthed. But he ended with a sneer, and it was all he could do to stop that twisted scowl from becoming an audible, feral snarl. He couldn't take a deep breath, of course, since he no longer drew breath, but Pwent settled himself more comfortably on his feet, as if allowing the gaseous aspects of his form to solidify. He eagerly rolled his fingers together, his ridged and spiked gauntlets squeaking slightly with the rub. He knew where they were, and understood where he could set an ambush with his dead drow minions.
"Me king,"
he mouthed again, pointedly reminding himself that he didn't want to set an ambush. Or did he? He glanced back, thinking how clever it would be to summon his undead drow minions, and he noted movement as he turned just slightly, just out of the corner of his eye, and so close that he knew he could be struck before he could react. How had the dark elves gotten so close? What scout was this? He turned around to face the would-be assassin, and allowed a growl to escape his lips, and moved as if to pounce. But he did not, for Drizzt Do'Urden stepped out before him. Pwent eyed him carefully, shocked that he had gotten so close so easily, so invisibly, so